56 Mornings.
Morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Everyone, 9:05 is the time. Hour number three here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Wednesday, April 29th, 2026 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham with you. We're live and local broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, they got the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo. It's going on now through May 10th at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. 66 degrees, 72 is the projected high. Right now, very cloudy. A morning shower in spots is possible. Then later today, looks like we'll see some of the sun, but they're calling for a partly cloudy day. It starts to get a lot better than it was because it was some wicked weather yesterday. Tomorrow looks to be really, really nice, although the high only up to 69, but I'll take it. 66 on Friday, clouding up again, about a 25% chance of precip. The weekend looks to be terrific. So make your weekend plans right now. A lot of sun on both Saturday and Sunday with highs in the upper 60s to around 70 degrees. We have had already a busy show. We're going to go ahead and after the show, I'm telling Jay Ham right now on the air that we'll get these interviews posted. You may have heard the interviews we have with Travis Burke and Aki Collins, but we'll put them under featured audio. We'll also have Lee Steinberg here in just a moment. We'll do that for you as well. Make it easy for you when you go to the website, sports56whbq.com, to get to these interviews at your leisure. But they were terrific. Travis was great, but what Aki Collins had to say was fantastic as well. DeMichael Cole normally joins us at 8:05 on Wednesday. He's going to join us at 9:30. But right now, he is super agent Lee Steinberg, friend of the show, author, philanthropist. You can follow him on Twitter at Lee Steinberg. This is his interview that Eli did with him yesterday. Lee Steinberg.
Well, super agent Lee Steinberg has been on the program with us before when we've been at Super Bowls. He's a man who's represented over 300 NFL players. He's had 8 number one overall draft picks, 64 first rounders, 12 Hall of Famers, and still counting in that category. And he's authored a new book called The Comeback, A Playbook for Turning Life Setbacks into Victories. And he joins us now on the program. Lee, how you doing?
Doing great. It was fun being back in Pittsburgh for the draft. Randy Mahomes had a luncheon for the mothers of high draft picks, so I spoke to them about how to get prepared.
What do you think, by the way, of the way the draft now, with taking it from city to city, and they announced over 800,000 different attendance there. A little bit different than your first drafts was, isn't it?
So in 1975, when I began, I represented Steve Bartkowski, who was the first pick in the first round. The only way a player found out that he was drafted back then was the team called him. There was no television coverage. There was no radio coverage. There were 17 rounds, and the draft was held in January. So it's morphed into this mega event that occupies the offseason, that puts all the focus on pro football. They've done a brilliant job.
It is crazy, the amount of TV coverage and everything else, and again, the amount of people in attendance. It has certainly grown into something that I don't think anybody could have possibly imagined back in those days. Well, I mentioned you have authored a new book, The Comeback, A Playbook for Turning Life Setbacks into Victories, talking about your dealing with alcohol addiction, the journey to recovery. What made you at this point decide that it was a good time to write this book?
Well, I'd written 3 other books. One was Winning with Integrity, about negotiation process. One was the Agent, which was auto buy, and one on athletic concussion. But I thought that if I could write a book that could help people facing life's challenges, it could be financial, it could be medical, it could be relationship or marital, or it could be addiction. And there were people still struggling out there, that I could use my own experience to hopefully motivate them to get help, and for people that haven't been through that situation, provide some illumination as to what's involved.
What made you, what was the point where you realized, I guess, that you had the problem and were able to go seek the help you needed?
The major block to getting help is the concept of denial, which is alcohol or drugs tell you you don't have a problem. The rest of the world trying to get you to stop has the problem. And so I had to break denial and understand that I had a problem. And then eventually take dynamic action. And so I closed my condominium. I closed my office. And I went into sober living, and I worked a 12-step program with the Unique Fellowship and dedicated all my energy to getting sober. My dad had had two core values. One was treasure relationships, especially family, and the second was try to make a meaningful difference in the world and help people who couldn't help themselves. And I realized I was failing on both of those concepts, and I had an epiphany at one point. I'm sitting at my parents' house in West Los Angeles, and I realized, what am I doing? I'm not a starving peasant in Darfur in the Sudan. I'm not with the last name Steinberg in Nazi Germany in the 30s. I'm not physically broken in any way except alcohol. What excuse do I have not to try again and be resilient? And so the key to all this is resilience, the ability to see light at the end of the tunnel and put together a plan that will bring you back to fulfillment rather than addiction.
Well, certainly that is a great lesson for a lot of folks. Again, a lot of great lessons in this book for folks to understand about that. And you were able to put that behind you and get back on top. You're out there. You're representing a guy like Patrick Mahomes right now in the NFL. And did you ever think at that time that you would be able to kind of get back on top?
I didn't really have any doubt because I had done 64 first-round draft picks as clients in the NFL draft, and 8 of them were the first overall. And 12 players in the Hall of Fame, and then a big baseball practice and basketball and U.S. Team in the World Cup and soccer in 1994. So that really wasn't what I saw as the biggest challenge. The biggest challenge was maintaining sobriety and being a good father. So I took about 3 years before I started again, and then we had Memphis's own Paxton Lynch sign as a client, and that sort of signaled that quarterback, which I represented half the starting quarterbacks on weekends, was coming back, and then the next year was Patrick Mahomes.
What do you have a favorite draft memory from all those years that you've been there? And again, all the number one overall picks, everything else. Do you have one maybe memory from a draft that really stands out?
Oh, my God. Well, I had those 8 number one overall. And with some like Troy Aikman, it was a coronation. But I think that it was a fun draft day when Cameron Crowe was following me around to pick up atmosphere for Jerry Maguire. And in 1993, Drew Bledsoe was the first pick in the first round, and he was my client. And Cameron said, well, what would be your biggest fear? And I said, well, what if upstairs they're actually switching agents? I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. And he used that in the film.
That's fantastic. Lee Steinberg joining us here on the program. One thing I did want to ask you about, you've obviously represented all these professional athletes. Now, agents have made their way into the college game with NIL and everything else, and certainly it's having an impact on the professional sports. But what do you think of NIL's impact on the college sports and agents now being involved with college kids and really, to some degree, really high school kids as they're making their way out of high school into college?
So it's a major, major shift that rewires everything that we've ever known about college sports. And while I'm all for players being compensated and making money, they didn't actually need to make this much money. It was supposed to be a fix that would help equalize the income of college players who came from disadvantaged backgrounds. Well, they could have done that with $5,000. And now, like in last year, the best quarterback was named Underwood coming out of high school. And he gets $4 million in NIL to go to LSU. And before he ever plays a down for them, he's spirited away to Michigan, where an alum offered him $14 million. So there needs to be some clarification and guardrails put up around this system. It has a big effect on the agent business because all of a sudden, instead of a 21 or 22-year-old, and all the athletes we ask to be role models and retrace their roots to the high school, college, and professional community, that's a big ask for someone who's 15. And so you're going to have to reorient pretty much everything.
There's no doubt about that. He is Lee Steinberg. Again, the new book, The Comeback, A Playbook for Turning Life's Setbacks into Victories. I assume the book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the normal spots?
Yes, it is. And I've been bouncing around speaking at colleges and doing book signings. And but it's, again, I wrote it to help people because they may experience life reverses that are not alcohol. But the question then is, if sort of inevitably and invariably life tosses you a curve, how do you come back from it? How are you resilient? How do you find light and hope at the end of the tunnel?
Well, Lee, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Looking forward to checking out the book and hope others will do that as well. Always appreciate your time. Thank you.
My pleasure.
So he talked about we're talking about the fact that he had eight number one overall picks that he's represented, including Troy Aikman, Drew Bledsoe, and others. I would guess, and I don't know, I don't know exactly all eight what years those were, but I'm going to guess that Patrick Mahomes, by himself, not a number one overall pick, probably already has or definitely will make more money by himself than all of his number one picks combined.
Yeah, because of when those guys played. Look, your number one overall picks and some great ones, as you said, but the money that these athletes get today dwarfs what they got yesteryear. But also, when it's all said and done, and I don't know. I don't know where Kansas City's going to be the next few years, where he's going to be from an injury standpoint. Last year was bad for him, and we haven't seen that. He can certainly, if anybody can bounce back, he can certainly bounce back. I don't think Kansas City's done by a long shot, but there are some teams that I think have surpassed them. But what Patrick Mahomes has meant to Lee and what Lee has meant to Patrick Mahomes and that relationship, we were there in Atlanta at what, I don't know what Super Bowl number it was, but it was what, 2018? We went to a Lee Steinberg party. And Patrick Mahomes was there and was invited up to the stage. And, you know, it was before Patrick Mahomes was Patrick Mahomes. I mean, we know what has happened since. He's become one of the all-time greats. And Lee Steinberg has been the agent of a lot of all-time greats. And as you introduced him, super agent, and I said before we went to the interview, super agent, he is, I think, the original. He's the guy it all started with. So that book, I'm sure, you talk about some wisdom in that book, you get it from Lee Steinberg.
Yeah, Troy Aikman in his career, around $55 million in earnings in a Hall of Fame career. But Mahomes has already, I would guess, surpassed his eight number one picks, cumulative money.
I mean, it's were any of those number one picks busts?
I don't know who that. I know Bledsoe was one. I know Aikman was one. I don't know who all eight of his number ones were. But yeah, they have. Mahomes has certainly gone way past those eight guys' total earnings, I'm sure.
Look, and I know Troy Aikman was 90s, and we're talking about 90s comparable to 2026. And I know this one's even a longer time in between the errors, but Jack to what's going on in golf today. But this is still, I still laugh when I see this. Matthew Fitzpatrick, from March 1st of this year through the past weekend, made $10.5 million on the course. $10.5 million. Jack Nicklaus, in official PGA Tour prize money during his career, made $5,734,000. Again, I know the errors are different. Jack Nicklaus, in his career, now he made billions, not billions, but millions and millions off the course. Jack Nicklaus, in his playing career, made half the amount of money, basically, than Matthew Fitzpatrick has made in the last 2 months on the PGA Tour. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. I mean, that's just nuts. So, yeah, I could see where Patrick Mahomes and all his success and the contracts they're getting in this day and age easily dwarfs all those number one picks combined.
Coming up this Saturday down in Starkville, Davis Wade Stadium, it is going to be Zach Bryan in concert. And I've got a pair of tickets for you to go down and see Zach Bryan in Starkville this weekend. Caller number three at 360-8255, 360-8255. If you want to go see Zach Bryan at Davis Wade Stadium, just be caller number three. And you've got two tickets. Those tickets will be emailed to you. You won't have to come by the station to pick them up. They will be emailed to you digitally. You'll be able to go check out that concert coming up Saturday night down in Starkville. Caller number three, 360-8255, to go see Zach Bryan in Starkville this Saturday night.
Should be a great atmosphere. Maybe before you head down to Davis Wade Stadium, whether you win these tickets or you're planning on going down anyway, stop by Corky's on the way down. There's four locations, including a location in Mississippi in Olive Branch, Poplar Avenue in Memphis, Poplar Avenue in Collierville, Germantown Parkway in Cordova, and again, Goodman Road in Olive Branch. And get yourself some great barbecue from Corky's before you do anything. If you got an event coming up, you want it catered, Corky's can do that for you. They've been catering their entire existence, which is now into four decades, 40 years. Actually, we'll be starting the fifth decade. You can enjoy that delicious slow-smoked barbecue that they have been making for, again, four decades. The Q, the ribs, outstanding. The barbecue nachos are tremendous. They also have an award-winning catfish plate, tamales, burgers. Start yourself off with a cheese and sausage plate. They got delicious desserts. If you still have room for dessert, then God bless you. But if you do, they still have those great desserts. They got lunch specials every single day. Party packs that start at just $7.49. You get out a third of a rack of ribs for just $7.99 when you purchase an entree. Corky's Ribs and Barbecue, open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week. When we come back, DeMichael Cole joins us. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Man, has it been a busy, busy show. Great guests, and that continues now as it's time to talk some Grizzlies, talk some NBA, maybe some other things as well with DeMichael Cole.
Two watches, that's 12. Come through and slam on you. I'm in the L. Four's eyes said and done.
It's time to talk some Grizzlies basketball. Joining Greg and Eli is DeMichael Cole, Grizzlies beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. Here's DeMichael with Greg and Eli.
DeMichael Cole covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Commercial Appeal. He's the co-host of the Locked On Grizz podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at DeMichaelC. normally joining us at 8:05 every single Wednesday. Very kind for DeMichael to move around his time slot so we can bring in Travis Burke, who was a late addition to our program. We appreciate that, DeMichael. How are you? Good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. All good over here. Good morning.
So you always ask, hey, I could talk anything. And you can. I mean, you have, and I know you can. So let me ask you about the college basketball news before we get to the proposal for the latest anti-tanking thing with the NBA. But what is your personal opinion about the NCAA tournament, both the men's and the women's, presumably with all the reports out there, going to 76 teams starting the upcoming season?
Yeah, I'm not really a big fan of it, honestly. Every year, you know, there's a couple teams or two, you know, that missed out, but that's part of the experience, right? It's part of the experience is getting up on Selection Sunday and saying, hey, I have these teams as a 10 seed, as 11, as a 12, and I have these teams, you know, in, and I have this team out. But, you know, 76 is going to be hard to see any, like, deserving teams to miss out. And I don't remember all the full details off my head, but I remember that all the 16 games will be play-ins, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's probably the one, like, I guess, positives, you know, because when those teams win, you know, they get the little payout or whatever. So that'll be a positive. But I believe it said that some 15s will be in play-in games too, if I remember correctly.
I think it's going to be 6 and 6. Basically, the 6 will be So the 4 16s and 2 15s, and then the other 6 will be the last 12 at-large teams.
Yeah, so it's basically creating another tournament within the tournament. But I mean, I can't see no reason for it other than money, right? Putting more teams in it and whatnot, but I think it was at a good number. I thought 64 was good, but even when you went to 68, it was like, okay, you know, you add a couple play-in teams or whatever, and then you added a couple, you know, like 16 games that had an extra little flair to them, and we've seen some schools that probably wouldn't win NCAA tournament games, like, get that experience. So that's been cool, but 76, it's hard for me to, you know, understand, you know, why they had those things.
I'm reading a lot of comments about it from journalists all around the country, and most of them are against it. Eli, this is from Kerry Miller. Kerry's a regular just like DeMichael is. He'll be on the show tomorrow. And this is, I think you were alluding to the bracket earlier. This is from Kerry Miller. This has been my primary anti-expansion argument for years. Two at-large playing games is a wrinkle. Most have no problem filling out a bracket before those games are played. But 12 playing games complicates the bracket picking process, which complicates casual interest. Could that affect casual interest by having all these other teams and all these other games? He's just throwing it out there.
Yeah, that's my biggest problem with it is like it screws up bracket contests because you're not going to have people pick the playing games because it's too quick of a turnaround.
Right.
And it's hard. Right. It's like right now it's easy. You got, because you don't care about the 16, you're not going to pick them to beat the one anyway. So you really have two of those play-in games that matter. And if you want to pick one of those teams to advance, you just pick whoever wins this game, I've got them advancing. When you've got 6 of those games now that are at-large teams, it complicates that whole bracket picking process that people, which is the number one attraction really of the NCAA tournament.
What do you think, DeMichael?
That is a great point because I don't pick play-in games when I wait till the field is at 64 and I say, all right, it's time to go, and I do my bracket, you know, at that point. So yeah, that's a pretty good point in terms of the viewers, and you're pretty much adding more of those toss-up games at the beginning of the tournament, and also to that point, like when people's brackets get busted, and granted, it usually happens pretty early on. But like, you know, like you're not even going to get a chance to wait until the 8-9 matchups anymore to see, you know, if you survive that one at this point. So yeah, that is a great point just for the casual viewer. I think that's an interesting way to look at it.
Well, speaking of change, the reporting coming out about what the change is going to be to the NBA's draft lottery starting for next year. There still could be some tinkering with this and all of that, but the what was laid out to them with their 3-2-1 system, what do you think of what they have come up with?
Oh, boy. The 3-2-1 lottery proposal. So it's an interesting thing. At the end of the day, it addresses what needs to be addressed, right? It definitely addresses that goal. You have the lottery will be expanded from 14 to 16 teams. So there is that part of it. So even if you qualify, you know, for the play-in tournament, but you stay out of, you know, the top spots, you get, you know, the three lottery balls. So you have small chances, but you put yourself, you know, in there. I think it's the teams with the bottom three records would basically just have like a couple lottery balls, but they have a floor of the 12th pick, while the rest of the teams could fall as low as the 16th pick. So, you know, it's an interesting thing, but the one thing that stood out to me is no team would be able to win the top pick in consecutive years. You know, we saw, you know, Philly, you know, do that once upon a time recently. I think that's the most recent team to do that. But teams also would not be able to protect the picks in the 12 to 15 slot. That matters in far of, you know, future trade. So to localize it a little bit, it's a tough break for a team like the Grizzlies, who are just starting their rebuild, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the Grizzlies are probably thinking, wow, we picked this time of all times to start our rebuild. For teams like the Spurs and OKC, who turned the corner on their rebuilds, like, it's probably good for them. So it's one of those things. It's a mixed bag, guys, because if you're so hell-bent on tanking needs to be fixed, boom, you just pretty much fixed it. Like, this will scare some teams from tanking and make them play a little more competitively, for sure. But the other part of it, and here's what I'm afraid will happen, is I sometimes feel like we overcompensate for certain issues and we create other ones. And since 2019, when the NBA changed its lottery system the last time, what we've seen is basketball has gotten so much better. From the standpoint of, there's so many teams that are good. Like, the competitive balance is great now. If you remember before 2019, we were just watching LeBron James and Steph Curry go at it for years. And we was like, okay, this is just what it is. It's
right.
The Warriors versus LeBron, whether it's in Cleveland, whether it's, you know, like, it was just Warriors, LeBron. And even before that, you know, it was the Miami Heat's team, and if San Antonio Spurs won a couple, like, it was the league of super team. But the super team kind of was killed even before the CBA changed, but the league has just gotten, so now if you look at the last few years, you got Boston winning championships, then Denver Nuggets, you know, before that, you had the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, squeeze in there winning a championship. Like, there have been so many different champions, and part of that is because of all these teams, you know, like the Thunder, get an opportunity to draft Chet, get an opportunity to draft, you know, even though Jalen Williams wasn't like a top five pick, he was a lottery pick, et cetera. Whereas what you're going to create, the unintended consequence here is going to be like last year with Dallas, like a team that barely misses the playoffs, like loses to the Grizzlies in a play-in game, and then, boom, ends up with the number one pick and drafts Cooper Flagg. And it didn't work out for Dallas because, you know, they end up trading AD. But if, like, Kyrie would have been healthy and they had healthy AD and Cooper Flagg in there, like, that could have been scary for the league. And I think eventually that type of thing will happen. So the unintended consequence here is you're possibly threatening the idea of the league being so competitively balanced. But you do address tanking.
That's interesting. And we were talking earlier, Eli, you mentioned about trades that have already taken place years from now and how that affects, like, this team's getting this other team's first round pick, and now what will happen in if you put this 3-2-1 into play, it could affect really where that team would be under the old regime under the old rules. I mean, there's a lot really to unpack, to be honest with you. But I think your point about competitive balance is absolutely there. And that's the whole point about the lottery, because especially the small markets, you're not going to get these players free agency-wise more than likely to help turn around your program. You better hope that you get it through the draft. And we've seen what happened with San Antonio. Smaller market, right? Not a huge market. Oklahoma City, again, smaller market. And hopefully that's the case with Memphis. And Memphis thought they had it, obviously, with Ja. Speaking of that, next Sunday, not this Sunday, right, a week from this Sunday, will be the draft lottery. Have you heard by any chance, DeMichael, who will be there for Memphis?
Who will be there in terms of
the draft lottery? Like, who's representing? Is it going to be just Zach Kleiman out there, or is it?
Not exactly yet at this point. I mean, as of right now, I think that's probably the expectation. But yeah, I haven't heard anything formally that would be different.
Okay, so the NBA playoffs rolling right along, and we know that once the playoffs start, the competition is a little bit nastier, more competitive. We see more physicality allowed in games, and I love it. I love the energy, the intensity. What I don't like, and some of these games get out of hand at the end, I do understand that, but there hasn't been a lot of these games that have gone down to the wire and somebody's had a big shot to win it or overtime. I mean, I just can roll right through them. Last night we had a 16-point game, we had a 29-point game, we had a 19-point game. We're missing the now. Hopefully, it'll happen in the second round, the conference semis. But these first round matchups, even though we've had a little bit of a surprise in what's going on, maybe a big surprise in Orlando, but none mm-hmm. of the but the games themselves haven't been real competitive.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective there, just because yeah, like you said, you got an eight seed up 3-1 right now. People thought the Lakers were dead to rights, and now they're up 3-1, and Houston is looking like the one, you know, that's pretty much, you know, no good. So yeah, but to your point, like, the Knicks-Hawks series has been super competitive from the standpoint of, mm-hmm. like, they're trading blows, but it's like the Hawks wins have been close and the Knicks wins have been, like, yes. like blowouts.
I said that earlier, yeah. I mean, it's weird.
Yeah, how about the 76ers blowing out the Celtics? Like, yeah. I mean, granted, they went on a late run, but didn't see that one coming. I think Spurs-Blazers was pretty kind of expected and whatnot. But yeah, it's a good point. And I do believe, you know, we get to the second round, especially in the West, but in the East too. Like, you're going to get some really good competitive series in that round. So yeah, I'm holding off. I'm holding off like you, Greg. I'm waiting on the next round.
So you wrote about basically a possible mock draft type situation for the Grizzlies.
Yep.
You had Keaton Wagler with their first pick. You had Cameron Carr at number 16. Mm-hmm. And you had Terrace Reed with that early second round pick. Cameron Carr, a guy who started at Tennessee, didn't really get a chance, then busted out this year at Baylor. Talk just a little bit about Cameron Carr, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that may not be familiar with him.
Yeah, well, before I really get into him, I got to get into, like, my mentality draft. And to me, this draft for the Grizzlies is about upside. For any team in the first year of your rebuild, you should be aiming to get who can alter who are franchise-tilting players. And what I mean by that is you're not looking for just a good player. A good player, with all due respect, isn't going to tilt your franchise. They're just going to fit in. Mm-hmm. They're going to do their part to keep things moving forward. You're looking for a player that's going to take the team from good to great. You're looking for a player who's going to, you know, potentially have the ability to be a star, even if it doesn't pan out, has that ability from a skill set standpoint. So with that being said, you go early on with Wagler, and, you know, there's some potential there. But with that second pick, getting into Cameron Carr. The thing about Cameron Carr is, you know, he broke out this year, right? Averaged over 18 points a game with Baylor. He's 6'5", but the 7'2 wingspan, like, we talked about this a lot last year with Cedric Coward, how those wings with the 7-foot wingspan, you know, are pretty close to being hits most of the time. And if you watch Cameron Carr, he averaged over a block a game last year as a wing. I think he averaged 1.3 blocks. So a lot of the things that Cedric Coward's good at is like that weak side help defender and things like that, good vertical jumper, Cameron Carr has some of that. Now, you're probably saying, well, why is he falling that late into the team? Well, yeah, he had those, like you said, the 2 years at UT, didn't play much. I know he's battling an injury, you know, for part of that time. Then he left UT mid-year, all those things. But also, the fact that he's 100, he's listed at a buck 70 pretty much. He's 6'5", 172 pounds. So even as an older prospect, you would expect those guys to be a little more physically developed. Mm-hmm. He looks kind of like a freshman. So he's going to have to really pack on some weight and things like that, you know, to deal with the NBA wings and whatnot. Because the arms and the defensive potential is there. And I think, you know, this is a guy who has real good 3-and-D potential. He has to put on a little weight and round out into form. But the shooting
Shoot it from three this year? I don't know. What was it?
He shot 38%. Okay. 37.9, I think, was the exact number. But, yeah, he really good three-point shooting year. Even in the small sample size at Tennessee, you know, he was shooting the ball decently well. So, yeah, he can shoot it for sure. I think the 3-and-D profile, you know, from a safe standpoint, is solid. But you want that defensive upside, right? That 7'2 wingspan, a guy who averaged over a block a game, averaged over 2.2 stops. You know, as a college player, that's what intrigues me as a potential guy in the team who has some upside there on both ends.
And of course, Terrace Reed, the guy from UConn, people are familiar with him, I'm sure, from the championship game. But and you've talked about needing to get a big at some point in this draft.
Yeah, it's a failure if you don't. You have to come out of this draft with another big, and not just any type of big. I think the Grizzlies need a certain type of profile. You need someone who's physical, who's going to crash the glass, who's going to set hard screens. Because, you know, Isolo wants those bigs setting 100 screens. So you need someone out there who's going to be willing to do that. You don't need guys who are just going to get in front of a guy and then try to slip the screen and the screen isn't as effective. You need those big bruisers. Reed, you know, fits that to a T. You know, that's kind of his game. That's what he's probably going to have to be to survive at the NBA level. But, yeah, too many times in the past, man, we've seen – the Grizzlies be in situations where all the way back to Jonas Valanciunas, when he leaves the floor or when Steven Adams left the floor, when Jonas left the floor, when Zach Edey left the floor, a lot of times we saw those guys get off the floor and the Grizzlies would be a decent at best rebounding team and a lot of times teams would take advantage of it. Now, granted, you were playing Brandon Clark at center a lot of those times, but you also were playing, you know, Xavier Tillman at center and some other guys right. In the last couple years, Jay Huff even. But, like, they haven't really had that backup big who comes in and keeps the force on teams on the glass like those starters have. So that's something I think they need to emphasize going forward because teams are taking advantage of that against the Grizzlies.
Damn, sign me up right there. I would take those three right now in a heartbeat. I think he did a great job with that. Carr, of course, with Baylor after coming from Tennessee. Baylor just produces guys that go to the NBA. There's like 10 guys from Baylor in the NBA. And then Reed, I fell in love with him, watching him in the tournament. Man, that guy could play nasty. And, of course, we know what Wagler can do. That would be a great draft for the Grizzlies. But the chances they have... I want him to burn sage, DeMichael. I want him to do all that stuff before the draft lottery and then the draft because I want the luck to change because this would be fantastic if it happened to come out with those three. DeMichael wrote about it at the Commercial Appeal. You can read all his stories at the CA. Follow him on Twitter at DeMichael C. He's also the co-host of the Locked On Grizz podcast. All around great guy, great journalist. He's with us every Wednesday. He is DeMichael Cole. As always, DeMichael, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
All right, take care, guys.
You too. I would love that draft right there.
I would be perfectly fine with that draft.
give me that one. I'll take that. Speaking of basketball, take your basketball skills to the next level at Shoot 360 Memphis, a revolutionary basketball training facility. It combines cutting-edge technology with gamification and provides instant objective feedback with hands-on one-on-one expert coaching. For all you basketball players out there looking to become better at the game, all you need to do is become a member at Shoot 360 Memphis. Get out there. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Get the coaching and then jump into these shooting bays daily or if you can get over there, you know, 3-4 times a week. I'm telling you, you're going to become a better all-around shooter. They have the technology in these shooting bays that will give you instant feedback. So the analytical numbers are right there for you every time you put up a shot, and the coaching is second to none with one-on-one expert coaching from guys that have been at every level, including the NBA level. You can join now for a month. You can do so at both their locations or one or the other, but you can do so on a monthly basis. Take advantage of it. In Collierville, where that's the smaller one. They still have the shooting bays with the Shoot 360 technology. A little quieter over there, 85 Market Street. You can call them at 901-316-5500. The Big Boy, that's Big Orange Road in Cordova. Of course, it's called Big. That's 901-779-3176, 50,000 square foot facility. They have everything, all the bells and whistles. Contact them, stop by or call them, get a tour of the facility. You're going to fall in love with it. It's Shoot 360 Memphis. You're tuned into Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255.
56 Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Some sad news from the NFL. Former NFL defensive lineman Josh Morrow has passed away at the age of 35. No cause on his death. He played with a number of teams, but his main stint was with the Arizona Cardinals. Also from the NFL, Justin Simmons has announced he's retiring. Four-time All-Pro safety was with the Denver Broncos. I was reading this where it says, Justin Simmons, 99.5 PFSN safety impact grade in 2019, still the second highest in the metrics history. He was a very good defensive back. And then also from the National Football League, and this is something I actually agree with that Shannon Sharp has said. He's talking about Mike Vrabel because, you know, people are trying to say, well, Diana Russini stepped down from her job at The Athletic. Mike Vrabel should step down from his job at New England. First of all, it's not connected there, her job and his job. Her job, by the way, was running. At time was winding down, and they probably weren't going to renew her. And I'm not sure what went on internally about what their rules and regulations are. Shannon Sharp says, it's a moral issue. Two married, consenting people. What are you firing Mike Vrabel for? He broke his vows. That's between him, his wife, and God. He's right. Nothing as far as... She wasn't giving him information to help him out in coaching. This wasn't Spygate or Deflategate or... So what? Mike Vrabel shouldn't be stepping down. Take care of the family thing and then get back to coaching.
If anything, I found it funny that she named her son Michael.
Well, that's a, yeah.
Now we had the Spotify list that came out yesterday. Like, these people can't get off of this story. It's like, leave it. Who cares? We're done with it. Move on, people. Man.
People like salacious stuff.
We don't need to be digging through Spotify lists that Diana Russini did 4 years ago.
Yeah, and the thing is, well, she was, I guess, allegedly cheating with him at that time. Is it his kid? You know, that whole thing. But again, that's all personal stuff.
Personal stuff has nothing
to do with him as a coach of the New England Patriots.
I had some people say the same thing to me, and they also brought back, you know, M.A. Udoka. And I'm like, that's a completely different situation because M.A. violated team policy.
They're also talking about Sherrone Moore.
Yeah.
Sherrone Moore, yeah, he cheated on his wife with this woman who he beat the hell up at. He beat her up. He came at her with a knife and all that. And I don't think Mike Vrabel was treating Diana Russini like that, unless we hear something differently.
Right.
The guy was cheating with her. She was cheating with him.
I'm with both of you guys. Leave them people alone and let it go.
Yeah. I mean, I think Sean is absolutely right about that.
Fleet Feet, that's the place to go to get all your running gear. Go see the folks at either the East Memphis location, that's in the Laurelwood Shopping Center, or out in Collierville at Poplar News to Levy next door to Huey's. They take a look at the way you run, the way you walk, and they will fit you with shoes that are just right for you. They will also give you advice or help you with if you're getting involved in running. Maybe you want to train for some races for the first time, any of that stuff. Talk to the folks at Fleet Feet. You can get involved in their group runs. Of course, they sponsor a lot of races, 5Ks, other things like that that you can get involved with as well. Go in there, talk to those folks at either one of the two locations. You can also keep up to date with what they've got going on through their website at fleetfeetmemphis.com or through their social media. They'll keep you up to date with what they've got going on and really just what's going on in the running community. That's what it's all about at Fleet Feet.
Big thanks to our guest today, Travis Burke, now of the L.A. Chargers, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman. DeMichael Cole, of course, who you just heard from the commercial appeal. Aki Collins, one-time Memphis Tiger assistant basketball coach, now Maryland assistant coach and director of player personnel, and super agent Lee Steinberg. Again, we'll have the interviews up on the website. You can check them out at your leisure. You can do it via hour-to-hour on the podcast or featured audio as well. Tomorrow, Kerry Miller at 8:25 on Major League Baseball. I'm sure he'll be talking college basketball with us about his dislike of the 76-team tournament. Sean Devaney at 9:05 on the NBA playoffs, and at 9:25, Ed DeRosa's back for another year to break down the Kentucky Derby. It's all coming up tomorrow starting at 7 a.m. Waldo and Friends on Sports 56 is coming up next. For Eli Savoy and Jay Hamm, I'm Greg Gaston, and enjoy your hump day, everybody.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on